All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are dealing with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I've mentioned here, we're studying through this doctrine, we've taken a long look at the work of the Holy Ghost in the world, His work in our lives, His work in the church, and also His work in our infirmities. And in this study, we're going to be taking a careful look at the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So, we talked about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He is a person, not an it. He is a he. We talked about the deity of the Holy Spirit. We talked about His work. And now we're going to spend some time. It's probably going to be about, three, maybe four lessons on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we need to address some of the issues around this doctrine. Now, this topic has been the subject of much confusion in many churches, and in this study, we're going to be addressing what the Bible says about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And if you were to say, all right, I want to know about what the gifts of the Holy Spirit is all about, where your mind probably will go primarily should be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Those three chapters give us a complete picture, and I'm going to hope to do that this morning, part of it, to try to think about what is this all about, right? The Holy Spirit in our lives, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how are they exercised in the church, for what purpose are they to be exercised of the church, are there certain types of gifts, are there permanent gifts, are there temporary gifts, what do we study about these things? You could even go to Romans chapter 12. He talks there about some gifts as well. But I believe that those three chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 13, and 14, will prove to be most helpful in giving us a biblical understanding of spiritual gifts. And by the way, that's what we want. When it comes to doctrine, there are a lot of doctrines. There's doctrines of men. And so what we want to find is, all right, what does the Bible teach about this subject? So I'm going to make some basically statements, and then we're going to look at the scriptures to validate those statements. So I'm trying to show you that the statements I make come from the scriptures. All right. So I want to, first of all, by way, I guess, of introduction, to deal with having a general biblical understanding of spiritual gifts. So as we look here, notice, let's read here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says here, now concerning spiritual gifts. So here we know he's going to deal with the subject. So he just finished dealing with the Lord's Supper in chapter 11, talks about self-examination. And so he tried to set those things in order, saying, when I come with you, I'm going to establish some more things. But then in chapter 12, he moves on to another subject. And this subject is going to be the main topic of chapter 12, 13, and 14. So notice verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So that tells us something. That believers at that time were ignorant. Right? Because he's telling them, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those things. Now, the church at Corinth had many issues with them. And by the way, let's not criticize that. They didn't have the Bible at the time like we have it. They received it here from Paul, if you would, live. Right? To correct some things that needed to be corrected. And so he does not want them to be ignorant about this. He wants them to understand. So verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. So he says, all right, now I'm going to deal with some things. And you need to remember your former life. You remember how you were just kind of led astray by all those dumb idols? Basically, he says you're deceived by those things. You worship them. You gave meat to them. You arrange your life around them. And so he says, now remember, you were led. And by the way, you were, what did he say? The idea is you were misled. You were deceived. He's showing this example because he's showing them here that they've been misled. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but It is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, here is, to profit withal. Now, I'm going to stop there because we're going to go in chapter 12, 13, and 14 in the next today and in the next week. But let me give you some general biblical understanding about spiritual gifts. First of all, and we see that in the portion we just read, spiritual gifts, and here's the first statement, spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit-given abilities to be used in the local church. Let me say that again. Spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit abilities to be used in the local church. Now, let me establish something by way of to differentiate ability by the Holy Spirit and also, if you would, talents. So, God, you know, different people have different talents, right? So, Bethany plays the piano. That's a talent that she has. And by the way, she's using that talent for the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. And so there are many things that, you know, for everybody probably, you know, at some point cleans their house. And some people clean the church. And so some people, though, are more talented at cleaning than others, right? I think. And so there's certainly, there's different, I guess sometimes we call them gifts, but we could say talents. This is not what we're talking about here. As we're looking at, notice verse 4, we just read, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then he says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So a spiritual gift is a way in which the Spirit of God is manifested in us, through us, in our lives, and it is to be used in the church. And so a spiritual gift, we understand that it is a Holy Spirit-given ability to be used in the church. And so when we think about a spiritual gift, it's not necessarily something that we're talented at. It's something that's been given to us to be able to minister in the church, to profit, and this is God-given. Now, notice here, he uses, he says, verse 4, 5, and 6, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So notice when we talk about gifts, it's God working in us to do something in the church, and God gives us the ability to do those things. So we see, first of all, again, basic here, that spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit-given abilities to be used in the local church. Secondly, spiritual gifts are bestowed on every church member to be exercised within the local church. And I emphasize there, every member of the church. In verse 7, notice he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what's the next word? Every man to profit withal. So does that mean every single one of us? That's what it means. In verse, notice if you go down to verse 11, what he says, but all these worketh that one of the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so the Holy Spirit, basically, he looks at every single one of us and he says, all right, I'm going to give this person this gift so that they can use it in the church. And it will be different than the person over here, and it'll be different for the person over here, but it'll contribute to the whole. And it's different for everyone. Now, some people have the same, but some people have differing gifts. But the point is, it's profit with all. And notice, it's for every church member. Every single one of you has a gift that God has given you to be exercised in the church. Right. So there's no, I guess, sideline church member. God wants to, and by the way, when we think about, he says, diversities, that means that there are differences. He will talk about here that there is one body, but many members. And so that means that now sometimes there's certainly, there are things that are more visible in the church than other things. But it's part of the same body functioning. So if you, someone, some folks came out yesterday, cleaned the church. That's an unseen work. And they did that. And this morning I'm standing up here teaching Sunday school. But guess what? It's one body, many members, doing different things. And so the emphasis of this chapter here is, look, every church member has something that God has given them, enabled them to do, so that they might do it in the church. Even Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But unto every one is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And so everybody's given a certain measure of grace that they might exercise that within the church. Who'd like to read here 1 Peter chapter 4? We'll have somebody read this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Who'd like to read that? John, go ahead. So 1 Peter 4, and John, read verses 10 and 11. Okay, now notice here, he mentions in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so, now I don't think he's talking about the gift of salvation here, he says, because then he says, even so, minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So you notice here, God gives that ability. And he gives that ability to every person distinctly so that they can use those things within the local church. Now, when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we think about those spiritual gifts being bestowed upon every church member, I believe when you read verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, or verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, when you are saved, do you receive the Holy Spirit? That happens at the moment of salvation. So this is what this means. These spiritual gifts, I believe, are received at salvation. Why? Because we receive the Holy Spirit. And so those are called the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, there's a gift that God bestows upon us that we might profit the whole. And so these spiritual gifts are received at salvation. These spiritual gifts are also different for each member. We already looked at that. In verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says this, "Are all apostles?" That's a question. What's the answer? No. "Are all prophets?" No. "Are all teachers?" "Are all workers of miracles?" "Have all the gifts of healing?" "Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" No. So obviously he doesn't answer the question, but it's a rhetorical question. The answer is no every time. So in other words, what he's saying is, because what was happening since it was a carnal church, some people were saying, "Well, I got this gift. I can speak in tongues." And they were misusing tongues. That's why he's going to set that in order in chapter 14. So we see here that they were kind of using that as a way to boast. If it were a public event, so he says, look, there's different gifts for every member. And so again, this rhetorical question is no for every question. Now, let me give you a list of what we find in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, even in 1 Peter chapter 4. The Bible talks about the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, of miracles, of prophecy, of discernment, of tongues, of interpretation, of help. Talks about ruling, talks about ministry, talks about teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy, all of those. We'll cover those again, so I'm just listing that. But there's a number of things that are considered gifts in the church that God gives within the church. And we also know that these spiritual gifts are necessary for the proper functioning of the church. When you read here in 1 Corinthians 12, notice verse 12. He's making a point when he talks about verse 11, "But all these worketh that one of the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Notice verse 12. "For as the body is one, and many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, or whether we be bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So notice he says, there's one body, but there's many members. And so The body, though, is one, but is not one member. There are many members, but one body. He goes on and says, verse 15, so the emphasis there from verse 12 to verse 14 is one. One. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, obviously, we're not talking here, our foot doesn't speak. But he's showing here, but you function as a body, the church does. So it's inconceivable that the foot would stand up and say to the hand, well, you know, I'm not of the body. Is he therefore not of the body? The answer is no. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is therefore not is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And so we see here that the spiritual gifts are necessary for the proper functioning of the church. So basically he says, is it conceivable for the foot to say to the hand, I'm not part of the body. I don't want to be involved. Well, no, it doesn't happen. And we know, we understand the head is Christ. And the head tells my foot, walk. And so as we're submitted to Christ and His headship, then we want to be part of the whole body. And so it doesn't matter whether we're the foot, the eye, or the hand. We want to be part of that one body and function within that body to profit the whole. And so we see here that spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit-given abilities to be used in the local church. They are bestowed upon every church member to be exercised within the local church. But thirdly, here's the third statement, spiritual gifts have a clear spiritual purpose to edify the local church. Let me say it again. Spiritual gifts have a clear scriptural purpose to edify the church. Now, if you go to verse 7 of chapter 12, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit withal. So in other words, God, when He gives an ability, bestows an ability, a spiritual gift on us, He wants us to use that gift to profit withal. Now He's talking about the body of Christ, the whole. So guess what? The spiritual gift is not there for us. To say, oh, look at me. Look at the gift I got. And by the way, if that's your attitude, you probably don't have that gift then. But, you know, somebody kind of boasting and say, oh, look at me. No, it's for the profit of somebody else. That's what the spiritual gift is about. So a spiritual gift is never looked on, look at what I have. A spiritual gift is looked upon as, what can I do? That's a spiritual gift in the church. If you go to chapter 14... 1 Corinthians 14. Notice what he says. And in the last few days, I read through chapter 12, 13, and 14 kind of over and over again. In chapter 14, the Spirit, there are several words that keep coming up. The word edification keeps coming up, and the word understanding. Now, that's important. Why? Because he's going to set straight the tongue speaking. And so he says, what is this all about? Notice verse 1 of chapter 14. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification. And exhortation and comfort. The word edification means to build up. So if you see the idea, it was used to build an edifice, like a big, huge building. And so it means that you put one block on the next and you build it up. And then when it's done, you say, wow, look at that. Look what we built. And so the purpose of gifts is for edification. Now, he compares the tongues with prophesying, because what they were saying is, oh, look, I got the tongue speaking and all those things. He says, well, how does it profit the whole? So you know what profits the whole? Prophesying, preaching, teaching. That works to edification. Notice verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Is that what gifts are for? No. Remember verse chapter 12, to profit withal. But he that prophesieth edifieth the who? The church. Notice verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive what? Edifying. Notice he goes on in verse 12 what he says. He says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the what? To the edifying of the church. So don't chase after something for you. Chase after something that will profit the church, that will build the church up. And the church is not the building. It's the people. So you're edifying people. You're building people up. Go down, notice of the same chapter, verse 26. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, so when they had their service, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. So you see what the church of Corinth had got into? It was all about, hey, I got this song. I got this doctrine. I got this interpretation. Look, it's all about them. And he says, let all things be done unto edifying. And so the point of chapter 14 is, it's interesting, there's an outline. Go to back to verse 1 of chapter 14. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So basically he says, what should we seek? Now charity is love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Seek to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then desire spiritual gift. That's a good thing. Desire spiritual gift. But rather that you may prophesy. What is that? Why? Because that lends unto edification. And so that's the outline of chapter 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 13 is follow after charity. That's chapter 13. Desire spiritual gift. That's chapter 12. We should desire spiritual gifts. But rather, what is it all about? It's about prophesying. About why? Because prophesying brings about edification. So we find here that the spiritual gifts have a clear scriptural purpose to edify the local church. So we think about all that's going on, when somebody says, well, you know, we had a wonderful church service, and they mentioned what happened, the question we have to ask ourselves is, if when the Spirit has His way, the church is edified. The church is built up. The people are built up in Christ. If that doesn't happen, then it's not the Spirit. Right? It's not the Spirit doing that. Now, there's a lot of things taking place in the name of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't lend or bring about edification. Okay? Yelling and screaming, rolling around on the ground, that does not tend toward edification. And look, I'm not criticizing. I think, you know, it's sad to see what people think is the Spirit, which I don't think is the Spirit at all. May the Lord help us to discern that edification takes place. Also, next statement. Spiritual gifts can only be properly exercised when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in the believer's life. Okay? Spiritual gifts can only be properly exercised when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in the believer's life. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Okay? Give me the first fruit of the Spirit. Love. Now, Galatians 5, right? He says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the, from the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians. And then so he talks about the works of the flesh, and then he talks about the fruit singular of the Spirit, and he says that the fruit of the Spirit, the first one, is love. And then after that, after he gives the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about, yeah, don't be in conflict, and, you know, don't be all carnal, attacking one another, all those things. And so the fruit of the Spirit, the first one that is mentioned, is love. So the question is this: should a spiritual gift be exercised when the fruit of the Spirit is absent? A good answer. Now notice chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Notice what he says in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, notice the exercising of the gift.
you exercise the gift, but charity is not present, what is charity? Love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, then you're just kind of like tinkling. That's annoying, isn't it? Yeah, I love my children, but noisy toys. You know, I appreciate when some of you have given up gifts, but some of them are really noisy, and they beat on something. It's a lot of noise. It's like, stop. Think about it. In the church, if we don't have charity and we seek to exercise our gifts, that's exactly what we're doing. He goes on to say, verse 2, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith." Now notice prophecy, remember in chapter 40, he says, this is a wonderful thing because it brings about edification, but he says, it needs charity in it. So if you have faith that it could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He says, verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned." Wow, I mean, you become a martyr. "And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So here, the question was, should a spiritual gift be exercised? Now, all those were spiritual gifts he mentioned in verse 1, 2, and 3. Should a spiritual gift be exercised when the fruit of the Spirit is absent? The answer is no. You see, so that's why he says, in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, number 1, follow charity. What is that? Seek to be controlled by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what you chase after. You don't chase after the spiritual gifts. You follow after charity, number 1. That's what we seek for. And then desire spiritual gifts. When you're controlled by the Spirit, when love is present, then seek to have those spiritual gifts that you may exercise them in the church. But then rather that you prophesy, make sure that it benefits the church when you do exercise it. And so spiritual gifts can only be properly exercised when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in a believer's life. That's an important point. That's what he's making here in those three chapters. Let me give you two more. Spiritual gifts should be discerned and stirred up for proper use in the church. So spiritual gifts should be discerned and stirred up for proper use in the local church. So turn with me to the book of Romans. If you hold your place in Romans 12, go to Romans 1. So Romans chapter 1 and also Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes one of his goals for the church at Rome, and he had never been there, but he says this in Romans 1, verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." So, probably the first five chapters is focus on salvation. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 on yielding ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God, being filled with the Spirit of God. When he gets to chapter 12 of Romans, he gets into the practical aspect of church life. And this is what he says in Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So notice, he's going to talk about gifts. And before he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. See, that's the problem in my life, that's the problem in your life too. We do something for God and we think we're all that in the bag of chips. How did God get anything done until we showed up? Right? That's how we think about ourselves. And he says, look, we're going to talk about gifts here. I said, but don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He mentions himself. "For I say, through the grace given unto me," what I'm communicating to you, I receive from God. I didn't come up with it. God gave it to me, and I'm relaying that to you. So he says, verse 4, "For as ye have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." So again, what we see in 1 Corinthians. Right? Many members, different ministries, different offices, one body. Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or that on, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he says, let love be without dissimulation. So notice he attaches that again. Here's the gifts. But you know what you need when you exercise those gifts? Love. You need to be controlled by the Spirit of God if you're going to be exercising those gifts in the church. And so we see here that spiritual gifts here, he's encouraging them to discern those gifts. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, chapter 4. Notice verse 14. He says to Timothy, he says, 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. So we see here that Paul recognized at some point the gift that Timothy received, prophecy. Paul and the others, they recognized Timothy's gift and they laid hands on him as a symbolic recognition of that gift. And not only did Paul want Timothy to remember the gifts that they discerned, that he discerned, but he also wanted Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. Bring it back to life. Timothy was not to neglect that gift. Don't neglect that gift. And so we see that spiritual gifts should be discerned and then stirred up for proper use in the church. You know, the Bible says that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we add, and we know He hear us, He will do it. If we sincerely ask God, say, God, would you tell me what my gift is so that I can use it for the church? Do you think God's going to keep you ignorant about that? No. No, no. He's going to show you exactly what He wants you to do so that you can do it in the church. Now that has to be done out of sincerity and out of love, in submission to the Spirit of God. But then when you have it, some of you have a gift, but then every once in a while you have to stir it up. Why? Because, you know, we get stale with time. And so he tells Timothy, now he was a pastor at that time, and he's basically saying, hey, stir it up. There's no doubt in my mind that Timothy probably had been discouraged. It seems evident as this letter is being written. Talks about tears and sorrow in the life of Timothy, and no doubt accompanying Paul, now being at himself as the pastor, you know, there's probably some struggles there. So he's trying, look, think about the gift that you have and use that gift for the benefit of the whole. So gifts should be discerned and stirred up for proper use in the church. Last point, and I'll be done. Spiritual gifts are always genuinely performed in submission to the Word of God. Now, if experience is our basis, then we logically have to accept all experiences. You remember in Acts 8 when Philip, he went into Samaria and there was a sorcerer there? You remember the people, they saw the great things he did, and remember what they said when they saw the Simon the sorcerer? It is the power of God. That's what they said. Was it the power of God? No. Experience is not the basis. You remember in chapter 12, you remember when Herod had imprisoned Peter. Peter was released, but then he went on the coast and he had a little party with everybody and then he gave an oration. You remember what the people said when they heard the voice of Herod? This is the voice of God. Was it the voice of God? Or it is the voice of a God? No, it was not the voice of God. The point I'm making here is, you know, gifts, spiritual gifts, are always genuinely performed in submission to the Word of God. In other words, if we do something, we say, well, I want to do this. If it doesn't fit within what the Word of God says and how it is to be exercised in the church, then perhaps it is not a spiritual gift to be used in the church. In Isaiah chapter 8, we'll end with this verse. Who'd like to read Isaiah 8, verse 20? Isaiah 8:20? Not all at once.
All right, Ray, go ahead. Isaiah 8:20.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Okay. So somebody that speaks, if it is not according to what? This word, he says there is no light in them. And so we have to understand, when we think about spiritual gifts, we're going to go into the details, but this is a general overview. What are spiritual gifts? What are they for? How are they to be exercised in the church? Do I have a gift? And so we find here those answered in those statements as we study it. So we're going to continue in our study of those chapters and to try to get an understanding. And we're going to talk about also, you know, specifically, what about speaking in tongues? And he mentions the miracle of healing and all those things. How does that fit? Does that take place in the church today or all those things? So we'll talk about that as we move forward. But let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here. Would you pray as I pray that God would help you to discern the gift? If you know the gift, to stir up the gift, but that it might be used for the edification of the church. Let's pray.